Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Food, Wine, and Travel Show, where we go across country and travel the world with members of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. Let's go. Welcome, everybody. Today, we are going to learn about some hidden gems and forgotten stories about the state of Michigan. Michigan is a beautiful, beautiful state. The Great Lakes, you've got sand dunes, you've got the lakes, you've got forests, all kinds of funky historic sites, I can say that. And of course, we've got car culture, music, think about Detroit, right? Anyway, so when we talk about Michigan, that means Amy Piper is back on the show. Amy Piper is a travel writer. We first met her through the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. And I think the very first time she came on the show, she was talking about Lansing in her book, 100 Things to Do in Lansing Before You Die. And that is through Reedy Press. And she is back today to talk about her brand new book that came out on the best day of the year, April Fool's Day, April 1st. It is out now. It's called Secret Michigan, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. And it is super cool. This is my style of book for sure. I'm all into anything weird. Go follow thepiper.com is the website. And of course, you can get it on Amazon, all those great places. So let's talk about the weird, wonderful, and obscure. Amy, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here today, Lisa.
Wow, this is awesome. I mean, I'm thinking about, you've been on the show a few times over the years, definitely always touting the Michigan horn. It's a car horn, right? Or is it from a ship? Did ships, do you think those old ships had horns? Or they just blew each other up with cannons?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Why not? You've got a lot of lighthouses.
Yeah. We have the most lighthouses of any state in the United States, in part because we have the most, we have the most freshwater shoreline of any state in the United States. And we're second only to Alaska in the miles of coastline that we have overall.
Well, don't mess with Michigan. You see, but that's so interesting because when we came up into the Great Lakes region, for some, I don't know why, but our mindset was like lighthouses belong on the coast, like the ocean. And you didn't think about what was going on in the lakes, but you guys have like a lot of war history, like the War of 1812? Yeah. You know, that history between, you know, what is now the Midwest and Canada. I mean, and England was involved. I mean, you think about these lakes, and when we went out on some of the Great Lakes, we were like, wow, you don't know the difference from being on the coast and in the ocean or on these lakes. You actually forget because you have seagulls and all this bird life, and you forget because it's so vast.
It is. I mean, when I think about Traverse City and looking out on Grand Traverse Bay and Lake Michigan, that area, I feel like I'm in California. And we have a lot in common. We're second only to California for our variety of agricultural production. So,
Traverse City, what is going on there? It seems like there's a wine distilling, agriculture, food. It seems to be like food centric in America. Traverse City, I just keep seeing so much. We've done interviews over the years, even, you know, tea places doing unique things. It just seems like Traverse City is on the Michigan, like not just Michigan map, but a national map for good, wholesome food.
It is. There's chefs from all over the country that have come there. They maybe were in Traverse City growing up. They left. They went to a variety of other places and, you know, earned recognition there. And then they came back home and opened their own restaurants. And we even have celebrity chefs there that spend time there, like Mario Batali and others. It's very food centric and wine too. But one of the stories in the book around the food centric area is the Mammoth Distillery. They have tasting rooms, I think four tasting rooms in the area, and they have one in Traverse City. And they have these heritage seeds that they had kind of faded out for rose and rye. And so Mammoth Distillery went back to Colorado and worked with Michigan State University to get those seeds. And because those seeds are rye, and the type of rye, once they're planted on the mainland, they quickly deteriorate into something else, you know, with cross pollination and all that kind of thing. So what they did, which is really strange, is they went out to South Manitou Island and they created a seed farm. The initial one that they did, they tilled the land by hand, and they grew seeds that then they could bring back to the mainland and plant and have other farmers grow the seeds for a year or two. And then they actually created a whiskey from those seeds. And so that's coming. And so if you're familiar at all with heritage seeds and rose and rye,
That's huge.
Yeah. So, and people don't know about it. I mean, it's just coming. That rye is just coming. I can't remember if it's going to be on the market this year yet or not, because it has to distill, but very soon. But they have a lot of other great things there too. One of my favorites is the Cherry Bomb whiskey, which is Traverse City's known for cherries. And whiskey is just so cherry forward and phenomenal.
So Nancy and I, you know, we travel the country full time, and books like yours are like a gem to us, to be able to find out, okay, where's the weird and the wacky? We want something unique. And I know with road tripping being back in full force, and, you know, you've got to look at Michigan is where the car culture comes from. So this is really important too. So when we think about road tripping, we all need to go to Michigan. We should go to the Detroit area, which I also know is a national heritage area because of the motor industry. But with your book, when putting this together with Reedy Press, was it with that in mind of people road tripping again with their families, or, you know, it's really all ages. We want to learn something, but have fun. And I think even with social media, like Instagram, we want to go, we want the cover of your book. I want the dinosaur in my Instagram picture. That's far more fun to me. You know what I mean? So you want those kind of experiences when you travel. And so did you guys, you know, kind of look at that as being part of the inspiration for this book?
Definitely. I wrote a book, co-authored a book with a group of people, and we wrote Midwest Road Trip Adventures. And so that kind of began to play into it also. But I road tripped with my family, my daughter and two granddaughters, and occasionally my husband, around Michigan. And we were just seeking these places out. And if you don't know about them, you're not necessarily going to find those in the stories just by driving on the road and pulling over. For example, back to Traverse City, there's a secret garden in a winery. And if you don't know that that garden is there with all the lavender plants, you wouldn't just pull over, see it, and go. There's a lot of places that it took a lot of research to kind of dig out. Yes, the locals, like if you live in Battle Creek, you probably know about the Alligator Creek, Creekchlow Alligator Sanctuary. But if you don't, I've lived in Lansing, or in Michigan, my whole life, And it took my daughter digging around saying, oh, that's strange, because who would expect an alligator sanctuary in Michigan? Yeah, in Miami, in Louisiana, but why Michigan? Yeah. So cool. That turned into a day trip for the whole family. But without the book, you're not necessarily going to even know these places are there.
Yeah, it's, you know, when we travel, you're always doing a bunch of Google searches and you're having to weed through so much to get to find something. And then is it correct? You know, is the address right? Not always, trust me. GPS has sent us into some very interesting dead ends, and not knocking it, but I'm just saying. So to me, to have it as a handy book, because you can even have it on your phone, you know, you can, there's so much, it's an easy way to read it. And it also is a way to get people interested in things that they may not have known that they're interested in. You know, correct. That's the other part, which I love this kind of book. It's one of my favorite things. But the other thing is to also learn about some of Michigan's famous people. You have a president that was a king? Seriously?
Seriously. So the book is always starts with a question. So the question, and who is the only president that was also a king? And, you know, I've asked this to numerous people around Michigan, and I think I've had one person be able to guess, and it should be fairly easy, but it was Gerald Ford, and he was born Leslie King Jr. And he was born in Omaha, Nebraska, and his parents divorced when he was just a few weeks old, and his mother brought him to Grand Rapids, and she and eventually her son, the who was going to be the president, they lived with her parents in Grand Rapids, and when he was about three, she met a man, remarried, and his name was Gerald Ford. And so they started calling him Gerald Ford Jr. And his stepfather never adopted him. He was known by that name. When he was about 13, he met his biological father. But he waited until his paternal grandparents passed away, and he was either in Yale Law School or had graduated from Yale Law School, and he legally changed his name to Gerald R. Ford Jr. So, it's really interesting. We have the Presidential Museum in Grand Rapids where he and his wife are buried. We have the Ann Arbor. In Ann Arbor, we have the Presidential Library. So there's a whole bunch of things about him that is different in the sense that there's no other president that has their museum and library in separate cities. And people don't know that. They kind of go and they think they're going to go to both in one city. So the book outlines after it tells the story, and we have color pictures in the book, and after we tell the story, we tell you where you can go to find this with the address and all of that. And then there's a quote that tells you something that doesn't really fit in the story. And so, you know,
it's fun.
It's interesting.
You know, we were in Grand Rapids during the pandemic, and we stayed at the Leonard and Logan House. It's a brownstone house in Grand Rapids, and it's within this heritage neighborhood. So there's like a walking trail, and there's all these historic homes, which is one thing about Michigan that I thought is it's a walkable state in a lot of the cities and the communities. Very walkable. A lot of historic homes, Victorians. I mean, we've done a lot of shows with bed and breakfast from Michigan. It just seems like it's so idyllic, you know. Saugatuck, is it Saugatuck? Saugatuck.
Yes.
We're out there. Saugatuck. Yeah, beautiful. Oh my gosh. So anyway, in Grand Rapids, we went to the downtown of Grand Rapids, and you know, everything was still kind of closed up because of the pandemic. But that's where we walked over, and That's where we saw there was a museum for Gerald Ford and Betty Ford. There was a sculpture of her. Mm-hmm. And right next to it, and this is all walkable. There's like a whole Grand Rapids water trail and history trail all connected with parks. And it's incredible. And the downtown is super cool with public art. Grand Rapids is a beautiful city. But where their museum is, this is downtown Grand Rapids. There's a Native American mound, Indian mound. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you doing in the middle of a downtown? You know, that's not what you normally expect. So just one of those things to me are like, well, this is really cool that everyone protected it. And it's there for informative purposes as well. So it's ancestral land too, you know, so it's really cool to see that in the middle of a downtown area, you know, and all the waterways. That was the other thing. You can't drive anywhere in Michigan without finding a really cool place to pull over and have a picnic.
Right. You're never more than 6 miles from a particular natural water source. We have thousands of miles of streams, and I want to say over 10,000 inland lakes. We not only the Great Lakes, but we have the inland lakes. And that's
beautiful.
There's just water everywhere.
It's awesome. We spent a weekend up as Coldwater. I think, remember, we were hoping to meet up with you, Coldwater, Michigan, and near there is a burial ground, a cemetery that has a horse in there, a famous horse from the Civil War that was in like 6 battles or something like that. We could never find the grave. We drove around and drove around. We needed to go, but I want to go back just for this horse. And apparently this area was one of the top producing areas for horses that were used in the Civil War.
Interesting.
I mean, you're not done. You have a second book to come out. I'm serious.
I think so. Well, when you talk about cemeteries, there's a couple of different ones. Most people let's talk about the one near Marshall in Colon. And the cemetery has not only, but many magicians buried there, like Henry Blackstone, and many magicians. And if you go during the summertime, they have a magic wand, the magic wand with cards and a number marking each grave. So
no way, I need to go.
Yeah,
I'm threatening to do a cemetery map of the country because we go to cemeteries all. I have a thing about cemeteries. And then I listened to a podcast the other day with a lady who's a bird watcher. And she does cemetery birding because it's a peaceful, for us, you know, we're doing parks and public lands. Cemeteries, especially these historic ones, they're in need of funding and upkeep. And a lot of master gardeners are who keep the cemeteries as clean as possible, right? And you go in and it's peaceful. There's squirrels, there's birds, snakes, depending on where. Just saying, watch your feet in cemeteries. As well as hot stones, you know? And so snakes like it. But I mean, it's really fascinating because it's a way to find out about people in history that did amazing things that you probably didn't know about. Just like how your book is letting people know, hey, there's some crazy cool stories out of Michigan and you can go and experience these places and remember the people. You know, it's like your museums. Oh, you see, cemetery is another version of a museum to me, but it's a resting place. Yes. But you have some crazy museums where you can, you know, see skulls and things.
Speaking
of the dead.
There's a couple. There's the Anatomy of Death Museum, and that is in Mount Clemens.
That's a trip. Okay, this is fun.
Literally, when you walk in, and this kind of took me aback, there is on the front desk, as you pay to go in, there is a shrunken head hanging there. There are all kinds of skeletons and You can actually hold a human skull and get your picture taken. I passed on that. So
God, what
there's
if you
that.
drop it? Yeah.
But you kind of need to like go there in the right frame of mind. I wouldn't just
know what you're going to see. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of funeral type things, old, I don't even know what you call them, but funerary art, if you will.
Oh, yeah, yeah, tombstone art. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, all those kind of things.
Kind of sculpture type things. So there's that. And then in Lansing, where I'm from, we have a paranormal museum and more. It's called something in the Paranormal and Mortuary Museum. So it's very small, but they have information and, you know, is it haunted or is it, the other
or is
word
it if a UFO? Yeah, if it, or
or
if
is
it's
it
an, I know.
escaping me? It's
Yeah,
escaping me,
yeah.
but
It's well, it's haunted, or like, is it a? There's haunted, or there's like, yeah, there's paranormal beings like poltergeists and things like that
yeah.
that do
And
things. So that's
so
cool.
they have some of those kinds of things. And there's another place, they have an embalming table, they have a skull, those
Ooh.
kinds of things.
Oh, wow.
So,
Wow. So this is like the other side of Michigan you wouldn't think of, you know, and I know the car culture is going to be part of your book too, right?
yes. Yeah. I wanted to get back to that. So Michigan has the only highway that cars or motorized vehicles are not allowed on. We have a ship that's an official designated extension of a highway that goes from Ludington to Manitowoc, Wisconsin. It's the SS Badger, and that
A
runs
ship
during the
is part of
summer.
the highway.
Well, it's considered an official extension of the highway. And so, you know,
Wow.
because you're going across the lake. And so,
So
there's.
does it act like a ferry?
Yes.
Or, oh, wow.
You can take a, you said you were going to be in Wisconsin. I don't know where, but if you're going to be near Manitowoc and it's after Memorial Day, you'll be able to take that from Wisconsin to Michigan to Ludington, which is a wonderful town. Ludington has Cartier Mansion, bed and breakfast, and they talk about the lumber barons. And the story that I picked up was about Kate Cartier and what her life was like in the early 1900s, late 1800s area. And so that mansion is a beautiful, top-notch bed and breakfast. Let's see. There was another car thing I wanted to mention.
Well, yeah, you have the car thing, I think, is, you know, obviously everybody wants to go to Detroit, but the one thing I wanted to ask you was about the world's largest tire. Because come on, who doesn't want to see the world's largest tire?
The world's largest tire is off 96, and it was a Ferris wheel in the New York World's Fair. And I think it was 1916, but I could have the date
A
wrong.
Ferris wheel? That's
It
insane.
used to be a Ferris wheel, and I've seen video where they actually take you inside so you can see what the inside looked like. They no longer have the Ferris wheel baskets and stuff. When you're driving down, you look at it and it's just a giant tire.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to go see that. I like
I
stuff
mean,
like
it's
that.
like when you're driving down the highway, you can't miss it.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to, we talked about the lakes. You know, you've got your ferry ship that, you know, that's amazing. But what about the shipwrecks? Because that's something that I've, there's shipwrecks, and then people have talked about ghost ships, about ships being sunken underwater and how they preserve them in the, like in winter, they would like basically dunk their ships down, you know, and I'm going, how does this work? They're in water the whole time. Then I'm like, well, they're ships, they're supposed to be in water. Like, but it's like crazy to me. So do you guys ever find like pirates' gold or something?
Well, I don't so know so much about the gold part, but people have to understand that the Great Lakes are like the ocean, and it's in many cases very dangerous and unforgiving. There were two times that I tried to go out on Lake Huron, and I didn't make it because the weather was too rough, and they canceled the trips. I actually went on one in off from Alpena, and Alpena in that area on the Lake Huron side is called Shipwreck Alley, and there are dozens of ships that have sunk in that area. And so you so if you want to go out and see these ships, you can do that with there's a boat company that does a tour, and
Okay, cool.
it has a glass bottom or see-through bottom, and they take you out and you can sit down, and then once you get to the area, they narrate the different ships that you're looking at,
No way.
and you can see, because some of them aren't that far below the surface, and they'll tell you the stories of each of those ships. And like there's a picture in my book of the actual boat that you can see through that's
I want in. I want to do that. That's cool. That's cool because I mean, a lot of these ships weren't they part of the battle, the War of 1812? A lot of them in the Great Lakes, and depending on where you are.
Well, those particular the things that were happening in the Battle of 1812 was down in Southeast Michigan, where they have the River Raisin battlefield. So there's that, and that's not Lake Huron though. But if you go up to Alpena, those were like freighters and not cruise ships, but just a variety of working, like iron ore, or different
So it
types
gives
of.
you some of the history of how the water was also like a real transportation. So Michigan
Correct.
is transportation, whether it's ships or cars, you know?
Correct. And so that brings you to the Sault Ste. Marie and the Sioux Locks. I actually went through the Sioux Locks, where the two different lakes are different levels, so they lock it so that you can actually travel from one lake to the other.
Oh, that's a trip.
And so we did that, and that's in the book.
There's
But
a
yeah.
lot to do. There's a lot. So I know that you're going to have a busy summer and spring doing book signings. Are you going to be all over Michigan? So people can mostly follow you on your website, followthepiper.com, and then also on social media, right, to find out where you're going to be.
Correct. Follow me. I'll have a page on my website that tells my book events. My book launch is April 3rd. So
Cool.
then there'll be book events throughout. In early June, I'll be in Indian River. Indian River, I like to put in a plug for Indian River
Okay.
because it's about 30 miles south of the bridge. And the reason I like to talk about that is because it's close enough to the Mackinac Bridge and going to Mackinac Island and all of that, but the prices in the hotels are a lot less expensive. And They're locally owned motels, and they're just lovely. I've stayed in several, and there's a lot to do in that area. And I have some secrets in my book from that area. So
cool.
I'd like to mention that.
Right on, right on. I want to give a shout out too. You're still on the board of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association, IFTWA. Last time we talked to you, you were on our show talking about the benefits of being a member. And I was going to say, being you know, part of the organization, has that helped you with these two books too? You know, getting these, you know, working with Reedy Press and, you know, building up your portfolio as a writer to be able to have two books out.
Yes, it's been great because you meet people like that you wouldn't have necessarily come in contact with. I've gotten to know writers in California because there's a lot of California writers there, and had a chance to work with them. I'm the editor of the Food, Wine, Travel magazine. And so being able to meet people, and you never know how that person might have a podcast, or you know, they might shout out on social media or share your thing. So I just love the organization. There's a variety of people, and
it's like a community.
Yes.
It's a cool, and the conference, I mean, the last one was on Talk About Water, was on the Discovery Princess cruise line, and then this one coming up is upstate New York, so you get to have some more wine.
Yes, and we've really upped the wine program for our conference too. It's food, wine, and travel writers, and we always had something, but now when we did the Discovery Princess, we had so many wine events that Princess hosted. They have a lovely Camus wine dinner. And so now, being in upstate New York, we're going to be in the Finger Lakes in Steuben. And there's so many wineries there. And
it's going to be awesome. It's a whole other lakefront for you, going from the Great Lakes to the Finger Lakes. It's going to be interesting to hear how you enjoy that. And upstate New York is beautiful too. So I know people are going to have a good time up there. And also, if you're interested, we've got a podcast we did with Dave DeGolier over up in Explore Steuben. And we always say it's stupendous. You're going to have a stupendous time upstate New York at the conference. So everyone, for that, whether you're a member of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association or not, you can be part of the conference. You can go to ifwtwa.org. But while you're there, you may want to just become a member. Just saying. So thank you so much, Amy. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. Again, keep up with Amy at followthepiper.com. All the links I mentioned will be in the show notes. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Food, Wine, and Travel Show, featuring members of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. We encourage you to visit their website, we say IFTWA, which is ifwtwa.org. You can also follow us at bigblendradio.com. Happy travels, everyone!